Clean up a few things in here, expound a little bit more about the Book of Life, expound a little bit more about saints ruling, and expound a little bit more about the second resurrection, so you could have some understanding, and the Book of Life. Talk about the Book of Life, those who are written in it, those who aren't. Then in chapters 21 and 22, I'll just briefly give you a summary, and I think if we have time, we'll play a little bit of James Capo, his presentation showing the different stones of the New Jerusalem and what it's going to be like. I think you'll be fascinated by that. We'll do that for the rest of the morning, and then we'll do that again on Monday. So we'll finish up Revelation, and I'll try to get your final exam ready for you from the Book of Revelation. So we'll see what that does, whether it'll be an open Bible or what we'll do on that particular one. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we basically finished it last time. We came down to verse 15, as I recall. Put a note on there. Whomsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book of life, let me talk about it briefly now, and then we'll come back and we'll backtrack a little bit and talk about saints ruling. And that's from verse 6. And we'll also talk about the dead, small and great, standing before God, and how many places there are that indicate a second resurrection, that indicate people coming back to life physically and standing on this earth again. Okay, so I want to share that with you so you can be clear. All right, the Book of Life, there are many references. Let's touch on all of them. Many references. Let's start in Psalm 69, verse 28. It's the only one in the Old Testament reference, and it's called the Book of the Living, or other translations put it the Book of Life. Psalm 69, verse 28. He says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." So he talks about the people. He says, "Add iniquity to their iniquity and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living." Some call it the book of life. The person who's blotted out of the book of life is a person who's not going to be there. It's like God has this book that he puts. Sometimes is it referred to as a book of remembrance? Is that maybe just remembering your deeds, or is that remembering you in the book of life? We'll see that scripture as well. Then you go to Philippians 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. Thought I put Luke in here, but that's okay. Philippians 4, verse 3, we read this. "And I entreat also, you also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So he had a sense that these people were so faithful, so erstwhile, so diligent, so good, as he saw their character, that he believed they would be written in the book of life. Then almost all the other references to the book of life are found in Revelation. Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5. So apparently God does have a book of life, however he chooses to use a book, whether it's a scroll or however he chooses to call it. But in Revelation 3:5 says, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed with white raiment." That's the church at Sardis. "And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." I will not blot his name out. So he that overcomes. And that's in that group of Sardis. Let's look at Revelation 13 and verse 8. Revelation 13 and verse 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell upon the earth shall come to worship him whose names are not written in the book of life slain from the foundation of the world." So they're going to come and worship him finally. So they'll have a chance to have their names written in the book of life, but those who are not yet in that book will have a chance. Look at chapter 17 and verse 8. chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit or the abyss, go into perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So these people's names are not in there because they don't understand, they don't grasp. In chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open." So obviously he's not talking about the book of life when he talks about books. And that's why we believe the word Biblia, Bible, which is what people will judge all of us by, the written word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We also believe that those books, the Bible is a collection of different books. And that word Biblia, you know, John, what is it, 12:48, where he says that the word I have spoken, that will judge you. So what will God use to judge people back at that time? The book, the Bible, the books. But he says that, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So again, those people have a chance to have their names written in the book of life, because they're not in there yet, obviously. That's why they're in the second resurrection. Then you find Revelation 20 and verse 15, where he says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire." When the end time comes, when everything comes to the final struggle, if their names are not written in the book of life, they go into the lake of fire. Also in Revelation 21:27, you have to understand, as he describes New Jerusalem, as he describes the various trees in the garden in chapter 22, he blends back and forth into, now don't forget, you need to keep diligent, you need to be diligent. So here in verse 27, he says, "And there shall in no way enter into it," that's New Jerusalem, "anything that defiles, neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So again, who's going to be in New Jerusalem? Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here it's called his book. Of course, God's book too. And then in chapter 22, in verse 19, chapter 22 and verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy," and that's specific about the book of Revelation, but of any book, any of the Bible, "God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So pretty specific on book of life. That once you are in God's hands, once you are in Christ, baptized, dedicated to walking in God's ways and continue to do so under the grace of God, you will be in the book of life. Look at Malachi 3:16, what God notices. Malachi 3:16. You probably just covered this. Malachi 3:16, or shortly before. "They that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." So God is an eavesdropper on all of our conversations. We can have our own little private tete-a-tete somewhere, but he still hears you. Brennan?
Is the book of life designated for man, or is it also for spirit beings?
I would say it's probably just for man, not spirit beings. Spirit beings are already made it. They can't die. Okay, so they will live. So it's a book of life. It's saying these people are going to live, and they're going to live forever. So Malachi 3:16, he says, "And a book of God heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought on his name." So this probably is the same book of life, though it doesn't call it a book of life. It calls it, he'll make a book of remembrance that those people. And then also we might note Daniel 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as there was since, never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. It doesn't say book of life, it just says book. But they are going to be delivered, his people. When times of great calamity, he goes on and talks about those who be righteous, be wise, will turn many people to righteousness. So we see that being more the book of life as well, even though it does not say that necessarily. And I believe there's one in Luke that I did not note. I thought it was Luke 10. Yes, Luke 10, verse 20. Luke 10, verse 20, we read this. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus Christ told his disciples, your names are written in heaven. So that's the other reference to the book of life. Whatever it is, however it is, if our names are in it, we will have eternal life. And if our names are not in it, we will not receive eternal life. So I wanted to share that with you, just give you some scriptures on the book of life. Let me give you a few more scriptures on we will reign with God, because I went through that rather rapidly. In Revelation 20, verse 6, he says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This also goes to support what is mentioned in Revelation 5 and verse 10, that we will be kings and priests and reign on the earth. God does not promise heaven to his disciples. He promises the earth. Does that mean you can't go to heaven? Sure, you can go to heaven. You go visit your father, you go there and visit your father and come back. That doesn't mean you can't go there, but that's not your residence. That's not going to be the place where we reside. The place where we reside is down here. The place where we will be dealing with is here on the earth. Another scripture on that, Revelation 2:26. Again, that we are promised rulership. Revelation 2, verse 26. He that overcomes, keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So those who are true Christians, those who are stay in Christ and abide in Christ, will have rulership responsibilities. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with the Father in his throne. In other words, I am ruling with the Father, and those who make it, who overcome, they will be ruling with me. They will have rulership as well with me. Revelation 11, 18. Revelation 11, verse 18. If I can find my 11, yes, there it is. He says, and the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and that you should destroy them that which destroy the earth. That you will give reward to your servants. And what is that reward? Rulership. 1 Corinthians 6:2 talks about us judging angels. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Will we have a part in determining the fate of Satan the devil, which we already see there? Will we also have the responsibility to manage angels, as some translations put it? 1 Corinthians 6:2, he says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? The saints shall judge the world? That's what he says. I'm giving judgment into your hands. And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Can't you judge these matters among yourselves instead of going to courts? Verse 3, don't you know that we shall judge or manage angels? How much more than things that pertain to this life? If God's going to bestow that gift upon us to look after, manage angels, maybe dispatch them, maybe have a certain number assigned to you. I don't know. But that's indication we will manage them and supervise them. Daniel 7, verses 22 and 27. Daniel chapter 7. Rulership is promised us. Now, I'm not one that just sits around saying, I can't wait to get ruler. I can't wait to rule over people. I can't wait to do this. But I do want to help people, and I do see some pretty wicked rulers out there. I do see some individuals, as you know now, for the political campaign that the Clintons have been accused of raking in all kinds of money based on their position and based on her position as Secretary of State. The deals were done, including making a deal by which Russia gets our uranium. The United States is rich in uranium, but about one-fifth of it is now going to be in the hands of the Russians, who can also then give it to the Iranians from the U.S. And apparently there was a deal that was brokered while Mrs. Clinton was the Secretary of State. There was also a deal by which Russia invited, or he, President Clinton, former President Clinton, was invited to Russia to give a speech. One speech, you know how much they gave him for that? $500,000. One speech. And it all occurred about the same time that this uranium deal was being brokered. And in fact, the people who brokered the deal then turned around and gave millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. Millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. So there's a lot of that going on about corruption in our world, corruption among political leaders, corruption that is staggering. And when people start reporting on it, they'd be, well, they're just trying to get at her. Well, let the facts come out. Wait for the facts to come out. There are too many circumstantial situations for there not to be something amiss. So you're not allowed to use your office to give favors to these different governments. Or apparently this book that came out, it's coming out, it's called Clinton Cash. And it's how they have raked in millions and millions of dollars. And a lot of it having to do with their position. So somebody's willing to pay you $500,000 to give an hour speech. That's a pretty outrageous amount. But more power to you. They must think you have some really gift of gab or something to give that to you. All right. Over in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 22, we read this. And verse 21, I beheld the same horn, Daniel 7:18, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So the saints were persecuted until the Ancient of Days came. Of course, Christ is also called the Ancient of Days, like the Fathers called the Ancient of Days. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Judgment was given to them. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So if you have the kingdom and you have judgment over it, what must you be? A ruler in that kingdom. In verse 27, we read, the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, not in heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So again, that indication, verse 18, of this same chapter puts it this way, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So there are numerous scriptures that indicate the saints are going to rule, that God is giving them that responsibility. So I just wanted to make that clear for you. All right. Next thing, any comments or questions? John 14, in my house are many mansions. Where is his house? Heaven. Well, it's talking about where he is in heaven. Well, does the house have many, do you have a house that has many mansions in it? I think you check on the word, it comes out to be offices or positions or rulership. And that's where he delegates it from. But not necessarily that's where we're going to dwell. At least I don't think so. I don't think we're going to go up to heaven and just be coming back and forth, heaven and earth. I don't think so, because it says the meek shall inherit the earth. Talks about us being here under the whole heaven. But it's a good point. Talks about the office, John chapter 14. Comment.
This is about the book of life. Is it our understanding that a person's name is not put into the book of life until they're baptized, and therefore would only be blotted out if they were one of those who turned away after they knew the truth?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, your name is blotted out, or if it never gets in there. It never gets in. Whoever name is not in the book of life is thrown in the lake of fire. So they may not even make it in there. They may choose to be rebellious and never be converted. Also talks about us having a crown, that they're making your crown. Don't let no man take your crown. So is God making a special crown for each of us with certain gems and diadems on it? Yes, he could be. Okay, let's look at one more area that I want to share with you before we bring up the video, if we bring it up indeed today. And that is Revelation chapter 20, and we talk about the second resurrection. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. When the dead stand, when dead people stand, you have a resurrection. And if they're great and small, it has to do with their lot in life. How are they looked upon in this life? Boy, this was a great man, Winston Churchill. Abraham Lincoln was a great man. Now, you know, look at all these. George Washington was a great man. You have all these different generals. Douglas MacArthur was a great man. Field Marshal Montgomery was a great man. You even had some on the German side. There were aces, you know, whatever the various ones who flew their aircraft. And what did they call them? The Red Baron? Was that one of them? And the Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah. You had a lot of great people, but they were still not great spiritually. They were great humanly. And those who are dead and not in the first resurrection, obviously, are in the rest of the dead. So they were not spiritual enough for God to raise them in the first resurrection, which comes at the last trump. So after the 1,000 years are over, then we see this resurrection of these people, small and great, stand. When small and great people stand before God, you have a resurrection. Now we go back to Ezekiel 37. We usually use this in regard to the last day or the eighth day, however people choose to call it. I call it both because I have looked up in commentaries and seen them say that the last day could also be the eighth day, but technically the eighth day is the term. But Ezekiel chapter 37, and Ezekiel's told to go prophesy, and it's obviously a vision. He carried him out in vision. So in vision, he's told, verse 2, he took him to the valley of these that was full of bones. So we call it the valley of the dry bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? The dry bones are just lying out there. The desert sand blowing against them has dried them out. They're just there. And he said to me, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord, you know. I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer. And verse 4, and again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, this is all in vision, okay? In vision, he's seeing this. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, how do dry bones hear? Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. What is needed for physical life? Breath. when he made Adam out of the dust of the ground, what did he breathe into him? The breath of life. So cause these, I'll cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. So he's talking about a physical resurrection. He's not talking about giving him his Holy Spirit. And I will lay sinews upon you, all the tendons and ligaments, and I will bring flesh upon you, the subcutaneous part of our body, and then cover it with skin. And then I will cover you with skin, so put the muscles in there, and put breath in you, and you shall live. So this is a physical resurrection being denoted in this vision, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You will know me then. You will come to know me. There will not be a deceptive world. There will not be a deceptive Satan. You'll come to know me. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, behold, a shaking. The bone came together and bone to bone. There used to be a song, oh, dry bones, them bones gonna dance around them. They'll talk about the foot bone connect to the ankle bone connect to the shin bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. And they're gonna build it all up. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna dance around. And then they do that song. It's a Negro spiritual. But it's a nice, it's an interesting song. God's going to bring those bones together, and he's going to make those people live. So here's this shaking together, bone to his bone. And sometimes I feel that when you get older, you sometimes feel bone to bone because your cartilage is diminished greatly. So sometimes I feel bone to bone, but I'm not one of the ones in the second resurrection. Hopefully I'll never be in that one. All right. Verse 8, and when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So you just have all these cadavers. And he said to me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, and O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So give them that jump start. You know, little babies are born, they get whacked on the bottom sometimes. Then they start breathing again. Yeah. So, because they didn't have to breathe in the womb. They received everything they needed through the mother's umbilical cord. But now that they're out of the womb, now they need some help. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They lived as a result of the breath of life, oxygen coming into their system. You can't live long without oxygen. Can't live long without oxygen. That's why people who have strokes, if they're not attended to right away, their brains are diminished and they can no longer live. Babies who have a cord wrapped around their neck in the womb, and they come out and they're being choked, and they can't, you know, the water's broken and they're being choked, and they come out, they could have brain damage. So he goes on to say, and I prophesied as he commanded me, the breath came into them and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You imagine all the Israelites, wherever they are. Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is symbolic of all the Israelites. Remember what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 11, so all Israel shall be saved. The physical Israelites were almost doomed from the day one. Why? They didn't have God's spirit. They had humanity. They had human. They had their human knowledge that they could gather with the spirit in man. They didn't have the spirit of God. And most of them did not walk with God, and most of them turned aside from God, even though they had great ambition and great desire. Oh, everything the Lord has said to us, will we do? How long did it take them to start making idols? Not long. So God says, this is the whole house of Israel. Notice what they say. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Can you imagine if you thought you went to heaven or you're going to be in God's kingdom, or whatever their thought would be, and if you project this to not just physical Israelites, but to all peoples coming up, and they're going to say, what? Where are we? Look, I'm standing here beside Alcoholic Al. Alcoholic Al would never make it into the kingdom. What's he doing here standing in this cemetery beside me? What about gossiping Gertrude? We didn't figure she'd ever make it into the... Why is she standing here and I'm standing here with her? My hope is lost. I thought I'm going to be having a harp. I thought I'm going to be down by the riverside. You know, I thought I'm going to have all these great things that you think about that they are promised. I thought I'm going to be seeing the beatific vision. And what am I seeing? I'm seeing gossiping Gertrude and alcoholic Al in the same cemetery. What's gone on? My hope is lost. And it is, because they didn't have the right hope. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. How do they know you are the Lord? Remember what Jesus Christ said? He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. So you know God when you start following him. You know God when you start listening to him. You know the way God is by practicing the way that he instructs us to. Come up out of your graves and you'll know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And notice what else he's going to do. And I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Now, does he just automatically give them his Holy Spirit? That's it? They just come up out of the grave? Give them. Obviously, they will have to undergo faith and repentance and baptism for him to give them his Holy Spirit. That's what he shows in the New Testament. That's what he shows is the normal way people receive the Spirit of God. But he will give them his Spirit, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it, says the Lord. So we use this as a springboard to say, here we see a prophecy of physical Israel being saved. And is God a respecter of persons? No. So will he save the physical Israelites but let the Gentiles go to H-E-L-L? No. He will save them too. But here's a model. Look at some of the other scriptures in John 5, verses 28 and 29. Everybody in the grave is going to hear his voice. That alarm clock. John 5, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. He says, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, everyone, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now, could be also condemnation, could also be judgment. So it could be speaking specifically of first and third, or it could be speaking of first, second, and third, because the second one is going to also be a time of judgment. And the third is going to be a time of sentencing as the final part of judgment. So again, all that are in their graves are going to be resurrected. Acts 24 and verse 15. Acts 24 and verse 15 is interesting. Right here in the midst of this book about the individuals, about the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 24:15, he says, and we have hope, talking about he confesses the way he follows, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. So in Acts 24:15, talks about two resurrections, possibly three, but two resurrections, the just and the unjust. You also might notice Matthew 11. Jesus Christ spoke several times about those in this generation are going to rise in judgment and condemn them. Were they worthy of the first resurrection? Not according to what we read of their acts and their deeds, but in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Matthew 11 and verse 20, I was in Luke. Matthew 11, verse 20, we read this. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they didn't repent. And notice what he says. Woe to you, Chorazin, verse 21. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Tyre and Sidon are going to be in the day of judgment? Yes. That generation of Christ's day who rejected him, are they going to be in the resurrection? Yes. If they're both evil and bad, how can it be more tolerable? Okay, I'll make their death a little easier. I'll throw them lightly into the lake of fire. I won't throw them into the deep part of the lake of fire. I'll just throw them into the side. They can hold on to the side for a while before they perish. Is that what God's going to do? It's going to be more tolerable? If they're already sinners and they deserve death, how can it be more tolerable? But they're going to have a chance to know the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, who have all people come to repentance. God wants to give everybody a chance to know the truth and everybody a chance to come to repentance. So when he resurrects them, they will have that opportunity. So here he promises that. He said in verse 23, you, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, Sodom is always spoken of as evil, big time evil, it would be have remained to this day. But verse 24, but it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. You mean Sodom is going to be have a chance? Yes, small and great, going to be resurrected. What about Matthew 10 and verse 15? Matthew 10 and verse 15, he says here, verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be in the day of judgment. Chapter 12, verses 41 and 42. Chapter 12, verse 41. He says, the men of Nineveh. Remember, Nineveh repented the first time, but Nineveh did not repent the second time. He had to blot them out. That's what the book of Nahum is all about. So in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41, we read this. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh, who did not make it into God's kingdom, who did not make it in the first resurrection, they're going to be raised up along with that generation of Christ's day. And they're going to say, you had Christ and you didn't repent? We repented at Jonah. And I know Jonah was a little bit upset that we repented, but we did. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation. This generation, small and great, right, will rise and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So she's going to say, I traveled mega miles to go hear Solomon, but you had Jesus Christ and you didn't listen to him. See, again, when's this going to occur? Second resurrection. The second resurrection gives us tons of hope. Lots of hope for all people to have a first chance. Not a second chance, a first chance. First chance, they were already doomed. Satan deceived the whole world. But they're going to have a chance, undeceived, to learn about God and walk with God. So I hope it gives you some things to fight back with, some things to say. You know, it's not just one place that you take this Ezekiel 37, this vision. There are lots of places that Jesus Christ said, people are going to live again. They're going to live again, and they're going to be a part, have an opportunity to learn God's way for the first time and an opportunity to be in his kingdom. Now, those who aren't found in the book of life, Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3, you probably already covered this. But I'll just reiterate it before we conclude the class today, and then we will not show the video. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 says, the day comes, says the Lord, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up. They're not going to be dancing around in the flames of fire. They're not going to be playing cards in the flames of fire because they were card players when they walked this earth. Now you got to keep on dealing, keep on dealing, keep on playing, keep on anteing up, keep on. No, you're not going to do it in the flames. You're going to be burned up. So will the cards be burned up. So will the music. If they have a band, you like dancing, music's going to be burned up. Dancers are going to be burned up. Dance floor is going to be burned up. You will be burned up. Oh, AC/DC will be burned up too, yeah. And that day, in the day comes, shall burn them up, says the Lord, leave them neither root nor branch. And there's a comparison, just like burning up a tree, that you burn it all up. But unto them that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing his wings. Verse 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be down below dancing around in the flames of fire. No, they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. When God's day of reckoning comes, it will burn them up. Now, you might say, well, that's not very much punishment. It'd be better for those people to keep on being punished. You know what? To think of a world where you no longer exist. You know, people tell you something, say, I never knew that. They'll say, did you know one of the students did this in class today? I didn't know that. It's like, well, because you were there, you should know everything. It's hard for us to imagine a world without us. Talk about the empirical self. It's everything that's about you. So wherever you go, the world goes with you. No, it doesn't. But that's how some people think. Think of a world without you. I don't like to think too long on that. It's kind of morbid. But think of a world where you no longer exist and will never exist ever again. The resurrection gives hope that we can live again. But the last reckoning of God with people, lake of fire, will no longer be there. And Revelation 21 talks about finally when people are made part of God's family in the end, that they will as individuals be able to live forever and ever. And they will experience no more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more crying, because they'll be made spirit beings. Those are the only ones who will be left who will enter into the kingdom and into the New Jerusalem. So I hope that gives you some areas there that we have a hope that we can have a chance to rule, and that your name is written in the book of life, and you want to keep it there. And you want to keep them working on your crown. You don't want them to say, take out those gems, we're going to give this crown to somebody else.